Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome everybody to another edition of CMC Radio. I'm your host, Rob May, and joining me today is Patricia Murphy. Patricia, welcome back.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here.
Great. Well, it's great to have you back. And for everyone that is new to this particular series, Patricia runs a very amazing group called Building Conservation International. Patricia, why don't you tell us a little bit about the organization itself?
It's pretty much a networking program. We have a website we're putting together, and we want to network people together to save buildings and recreate new uses for buildings that are they're in danger of being torn down because we are into recycling, and a lot of the buildings that have been built have a lot of quality to them, a lot of features, architectural features that buildings today don't have. And just even the quality of the workmanship that were put into these older buildings is worth saving. And I've often heard people complain that newer buildings don't hold up like the older ones do. They've built new buildings and they were complaining that the roofs leak, windows leak and all that, you know, and the older buildings didn't do that.
Sure. And now I know over the course of the first two episodes, this might have been a question that I did ask, but I do want to kind of give people an idea as to, you know, why should they care about preserving certain buildings? What makes a building more interesting or historically valuable?
Well, I think every building has a story and about the growth of our country.
Mm-hmm.
And it shows what life was like years ago. They see Mount Vernon as George Washington's home. It's not demolished. It's still there, and people can experience how George Washington lived. And Ford's Theater in Washington, D.C., they can actually see the place where Lincoln was assassinated. They don't just hear or read about it and look at pictures. They actually see the place, and I think living history is great, and it makes learning a lot more fun experience. And I think one of the things is to save the buildings because they're beautiful and they have a lot of architectural significance and artwork, but we want to save them for future generations to enjoy too, because so much is gone and generations today can't experience the beauty and feel that these buildings had. And
absolutely.
I feel that we should, yeah.
Sure. And so let me ask you this then. Now, if people want to get involved, they know about a particular structure that is, being threatened to be demolished and have something else rebuilt, what are the best ways for people to get involved and, you know, basically raise awareness about preservation?
They can contact the city or the township where they are and find out the historic groups there. They're into it. Contact the communities involved, you know, whoever the electives are, and
sure.
Find out why who owns the building, who owns it, why is it in that condition, and then see if they would really willing to sell it to somebody who can fix it up.
Mm-hmm.
And that they could post things on the website, too, and send me emails about what they have and what they have in their area. I could give them my email address.
Sure. Why don't you share that with us now?
Okay. It's BCIORG, the number 2NY, at yahoo.com. So it's B like in boy, C like in cat, I like in igloo, O like in orange, R like in red, G like in ghost, the number 2, NY, that stands for New York, abbreviate for New York, at yahoo.com. And they can send me emails of any building in their area that they want attention drawn to.
Great. I think that's a very big help now. So why don't you tell people then, now, I mean, really, this is really for everyone in terms of, hey, there's a building that is, you know, beat up looking or unsafe to the public. What are some of the alternatives to demolishing these types of buildings?
Big inspectors can come out and look at the building and see what parts need to be repaired, because sometimes a building may be partially falling down.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen this happen in various cities where part of a building fell, but they were able to rebuild it.
Sure.
And they can, and if the interior is really that far gone, they can gut the building and save the shell and rebuild the inside of it. And they can always find use for it because they have the shell already. And I've seen many buildings that were really falling apart that were fixed back up again. No matter, even though they were really in poor shape, they were able to fix them up.
Right. And now, if someone does contact you and the organization, what are the things and services that you guys can provide in helping preserve the buildings?
We would network with developers and historic preservation groups and communities. And it would, the website they were putting together would kind of work like Craigslist. They would post blogs on it, post pictures on it, and show where the building is and the information about it. And then we would network. This, you know, our website is a networking format where people can actually see buildings and post them and make everybody aware that they're around. And what we do is connect developers who want it, to make a use out of these buildings. So I know there's a lot of people out there that would like to own a building like that and fix it up, and they have a use for it, like a church that is empty can become a restaurant or a nightclub.
Mm-hmm.
And a school can be made into an affordable housing apartment building.
Sure.
And I've seen many examples of that. Sometimes they may buy a building that's small, and they would say, well, they'll tear it down, build something bigger there. But rather than tearing down the building that's there, they can always expand on the building, leave the building there, and build onto it. And I've seen examples of that, too. In Washington, D.C., I've seen a few examples of that where they kept the existing building but built behind it and around it and left the original building intact.
And now, how long have you been involved in preservation?
I've pretty much admired architecture and history all my life. Even when I was a little child, I liked artwork, and I used to draw buildings and things like that. And when I became a teenager, I really wanted to see buildings saved, because when I was a teenager, I would see things getting torn down. And I thought it was a shame to see them not torn down and wish that they could be fixed back up again. I said, well, if I was a multimillionaire, I would be buying these buildings and fixing them up myself. But, you know, that was my dream, was to become have millions of dollars to be able to fix them up myself and prevent them from being torn down. So this is pretty much lifelong interest of mine.
Sure, absolutely. And did you have anyone in your life that personally, you know, made you kind of have this tendency to really want to try to help in that way?
Well, my father was into history. He liked to travel and look at buildings and museums and things like that. And my grandmother too. And I've had various friends who are into museums and history, so I pretty much grew up around it.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to visit my grandmother and my aunt and uncle, and they lived in old buildings, apartment buildings, which I really liked, in the New York area.
Sure. And did you have any particular buildings that stuck out in your mind that you wish you could have done something to save?
Yeah, there was a building in just outside of Philadelphia. It used to be really looked like a palace. It was called Stotesbury Mansion.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just outside of the Philadelphia area, and that was torn down. It was several years ago they tore it down, I think in the 1980s,
right.
early 80s. And it was a shame to see it done, you know, because it was a beautiful building, but it was just sitting there rotting away.
Right.
And not far from there, outside of Philadelphia, there's two other buildings that were similar, and they're sitting there falling apart. And we would like to bring attention to those buildings and fix them back up and put use to them. One was the Theological Seminary. It was in Elkins Park, just outside of Philadelphia, and that building is pretty decrepit.
Mm-hmm.
The school, I think, as far as I know, I think the church still owns it, but the building's not in use, and it's, you know, sad, you know, to see it. And I would love to see somebody take over it, like a college or a school, and put life back into it again.
Right. And how many people work with you at the organization?
We have about six together directly, but I'm working with other communities too, so we're kind of like partnered together. Like the
mm-hmm.
like in the Bronx, we have a community in the Bronx, so we're the community board. We're working to save buildings and fix up buildings in the Bronx, so I work with the community board, and we pretty much work close together. And I work with groups in Philadelphia, and like and Building Conservation International was originated in Philadelphia, and I work with her in saving buildings in Philadelphia. And this is one of the buildings we would like to work on, is that Faith Theological Seminary in Elkins Park,
mm-hmm.
Pennsylvania. So, I mean, every city has a bunch of these decrepit buildings that could be fixed up and really revitalized again. It would bring beauty back into the city, because a lot of people see them as eyesores, and we want to bring life back into them so they're not eyesores, but they're beautiful landmarks that they were before.
Of course. And so are there specific websites that people can go to find out a little bit more about who they can contact locally for that?
The National Trust for Historic Preservation is one.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got the Historic District Council in New York, the Historic District Council. And they have their own website, and you can Google them.
Right.
I don't have their websites offhand, but you can easily find them by Googling them. And there's various local groups, too, there into historic preservation.
Mm-hmm. Now, can people contact government offices about preservation? I mean, is that something that, you know, is helpful in any way, or is that just kind of not really what they do, or would they not even answer?
Yeah, the government is a good place, too. Like, they have the development companies, like the New York Development Companies,
mm-hmm.
and the Land Conservancy. So they can always contact the government, like the city government, and ask who's involved in these buildings and who owns them,
mm-hmm.
and find out who's in charge of the Planning Commission. In each city, they have a city planning commission.
Sure, sure. And then with that in mind, can people, I mean, how far can really someone go, or what is everything that a person can do to try to help with building preservation? I mean, obviously there's only so much that you can write or contact, you know, but are there limits to what people are willing to do in that area? You know, I mean, you can't obviously go against contractors or, you know, city planners that have plans for any specific building. But, I mean, you know, is there a limit?
No, there's really no limit. I mean, you can do all kinds of things. There's an organization called No Longer Empty, and they plan art installations in some empty buildings. They most recently did the old courthouse in the Bronx.
Mm-hmm.
It's on 3rd Avenue, and for a couple months they had this big art exhibit inside that building that's pretty decrepit inside. But it was very interesting that they bring all the public out so they know what the building looks like, and people who are into art. So I thought that was a very creative way to bring attention to some of these buildings is create events like that, like no longer
sure.
empty. And I thought their ideas were really good in what they do, that they've chosen various buildings in, around the New York City area that they've put these exhibits in, these art exhibits. They're open for a couple months, and then they close up, and then they would look for developers who want to fix up these buildings. And there were a couple I was interested in, and the old courthouse is being fixed up right now. Some developers fixing it up.
Right. And for everyone just joining us, I'm with Patricia Murphy, and the organization that she's a part of is Building Conservation International. So, Patricia, now on to a topic that I know, you know, right now we're in the thick of baseball season, Major League Baseball, and I've been a huge baseball fan myself for as long as I can remember. But we have all these new stadiums popping up. So, you know, they're tearing down certain ones and they're bringing back, you know, they're building these, you know, top-of-the-line, state-of-the-art stadiums that have everything you could possibly think of. But what about the historic stadium vibe that you get? What's your perspective of this?
I really don't like to see them tear down the old stadiums. I think they can always revitalize them and, modify the insides of them. If not, they can always build from scratch somewhere else, so they can find an empty lot somewhere and build from scratch. And then they could turn the old building over to the high school or a college, and they could find use
right.
for it. Because Connie Mack Stadium was a great place in Philadelphia. I've seen Connie Mack Stadium,
mm-hmm.
and they tore it down, and it was a great place. And it was a shame to see it torn down because the architectural features of it. And they had other ones, too, that in other cities that they've torn down.
Oh, sure.
And
it happens very often now.
Yeah, and they've been doing it all over the country. I mean, every city across the United States has replaced their stadiums. I really don't know why
sure.
they did that, but they've done it. But to see Connie Mack Stadium go, and the JFK Stadium was another one they tore down in
mm-hmm.
Philadelphia. And then they tore down the Yankee Stadium in New York.
Absolutely.
The new one looks similar to the old one, but I don't know why they, with all the history behind
right.
the old stadium in the Bronx, why did they tear it down rather than
sure.
fix it back up again? They could have modified the whole interior of it. Because all
right.
I heard was there was a house that Babe Ruth built.
Sure, yeah. I mean, I think a lot of Yankee fans in particular were probably a little surprised at the move to actually tear it down.
Yeah, I think everybody was.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, and that's something, you know, and I think that's something that a lot of people can relate to. It's the memories that you get from this old stadium. And I actually, as a huge Yankee fan, I remember being at the last home Yankee game at the old Yankee Stadium before they torn it down. And the emotion that kind of hits you is it's very surreal, you know, just knowing that that was it and that the following year you're going to be in a new building, which, you know, I'm not going to say I don't love the new Yankee Stadium because it's incredible. But that's not to say that they couldn't have done something to preserve the old Yankee Stadium at that point, you know?
Yeah, and I feel that, you know, a lot of times they say, well, the old structures, they become decrepit. They get old and
right.
they start falling apart. But if they maintained them over the time, and as soon as something breaks, fix it.
Right.
You know, if they kept fixing things and maintained these buildings, they wouldn't be in such poor shape later on.
Sure.
Because when you look at some of these buildings like Mount Vernon, you know, where George Washington lived, I mean, it's in great shape, even though it's over
right.
200 years old, because they maintain it. They take care of it, and I think they should do that with all buildings so they
sure.
don't get in such poor shape.
Really, it's just maintenance and renovating, right? I mean, that's the two big things.
Yeah. Because it's always a thing, you know, that people say, well, it's falling apart.
Mm-hmm.
The upkeep is too expensive, but they got to keep on top of it. You know,
absolutely.
They got to make sure that, you know, they know how long a roof lasts. As soon as the roof starts to leak, fix it. With so many people, they wait until the leak gets worse and worse, and then the whole roof collapses. And this happens too often.
Sure. Definitely. And with that now, Patricia, you know, I know that you've mentioned the benefits of some certain older buildings as opposed to what you've been hearing about newer structures. So why don't you kind of tell us, you know, some of the benefits that you know of, obviously, with old structures that are properly maintained and, you know, renovated.
Yeah, a lot of the older structures have quality materials. They're built of stone, brick, concrete, and they're strong. And they were built to stand for many years.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the newer buildings, they use very poor quality materials. They use steel, but the wood is not good quality. They use plasterboard, plywood.
Right.
And when you look at a building going up, it's not the same. And sometimes I wonder if they do that because they figure the building's not going to last forever. So they figure over time the building's going to get torn down anyway. But I think the quality in the new buildings aren't what they were in the older ones. And the character of the older buildings are a lot nicer to look at,
mm-hmm.
and appealing to the eye. You know, you got the classical features on a lot of them. The stone, the brick, the carvings, gargoyles, and the roof line, and a lot of the new buildings just look like boxes.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go inside, the new buildings look very sterile inside. Well, the older ones have character in them. You know, they have the columns and the high ceilings with the coffered designs, marble floors. A lot of the
right.
new buildings don't look like that. And I was reading something on the internet about what would happen if man was to disappear from the earth, if man became extinct. And they said that all these ancient structures that have stood since the beginning of Rome and all that, they're still around. But all our modern architecture and all the things in the modern world will disappear. So if an alien came to this planet after man became extinct, the last 200-300 years would be totally wiped out. There would be no
right.
trace of what humankind was like in the last 200-300 years, because the buildings would be all collapsed and
mm-hmm.
the digital stuff would be gone. And so that goes to show how well made older things were.
Sure. And Patricia, you've mentioned a lot of the Philadelphia area. And I'm curious, you know, you've traveled the country numerous times, right?
Yes.
Do you have a particular city that had structures that you were more into than others?
Any city? Well, pretty
yeah.
much New York. I really like New York, and that's my favorite place to be. I've been in Chicago and Los Angeles, and they have some great places, too. The Los Angeles had a great hotel. It was the Ambassador Hotel that was torn down a few years ago. It was a great place, and they tore it down. And Atlantic
and
City had
why
some
they,
great...
Why did they tear that particular building down?
The hotel went out of business, and nobody wanted to take over it and reopen it. And I heard they made a school out of it, or they built a school on the spot where it was.
Uh-huh.
And then in Atlantic City, I've seen some great hotels go down, like the Traymore and the Marble of Blenheim. They were beautiful old hotels. They were gone, and they were replaced by these casinos. And the casinos and the hotels that are attached to the casinos are nothing like what the old hotels were like.
Right.
And the way I see it is that they could have always have expanded on the old hotels, like they had with the old Dennis Hotel. They actually expanded on that one. And resorts in the Claridge, they did build onto them and kept the original structures. But the Traymore and the Marble Blenheim and a few others, they just tore them down completely. And they built these casinos and hotels with the casinos, but a couple of them they tore down. The Sands was demolished a couple of years ago, and that was like 20 years old, I think. They demolished it already. And I forget what was there before they built the Sands.
And as far as plans for the organization, Building Conservation International, what are some of the plans that you have for the next couple of years?
What I would like to do is have a very interactive website where people can actually show things. I do plan on going out and filming documentaries and going out and taking pictures of these buildings and doing a documentary on them to show on television so people see them and show them on programs like the History Channel and even put them on YouTube so people can see them and see what they looked like before and what they look like now.
Right.
And I think if they got more exposure that way, people would be more interested in wanting to save them.
Absolutely.
Because I don't think many people know that these buildings are there rotting away. But very few people know or are aware that they're there.
Right. Absolutely. So what would you say then are some of the goals of the organization?
We want to work with developers and show them how, rather than tearing them down, to take over and fix them up. And we want to educate people that we don't want to tear things down. We want to recycle, you know, because we are big on, you know, the world is big on recycling now and using things over again, not throwing things away. And we want to do the same with buildings. We want to recycle these old buildings and not throw them away. And we want the public, as in general, to do everything they can to recycle them. And people who have money, like investors and developers, even hospitals, like you have a lot of these hospitals and schools that have older buildings on their campuses, and what they should do is, if they have no use for an older building, is to save it. Like Harlem Hospital,
right,
had a dental school in a nice old building, and a couple people that work there told me that they think that they're going to tear the building down. It's a great looking building to look at Harlem Hospital.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to speak with the people at Harlem Hospital and talk about what they want, what their needs are, and how they can fulfill their needs by using that same building and modifying the inside of it to fit their new needs. Because it's really a nice-looking building.
Right.
And I think Harlem, as a community, it has a lot of history in Harlem.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have to look at the African-American culture, and they have a lot of impact in Harlem, and we would like to reach out to them and see what we can do to save the buildings in Harlem Hospital.
Sure. Absolutely. And as we're winding down to the last minute and a half here of this episode, I know that you do a couple of different things to try to personally raise funds for the organization. So quickly, why don't you just share with us a couple of the different websites, which are up on our website. We do have murphybenefits.weebly.com, the $5funnel.com, and I know you're also working with Shackley. So that website is smartu.myshackley.com.
Yeah. But you have to go into the URLs, because just going by $5funnel.com won't take you on the right web page. You need the right URL. Because unless you have the right URL, it's not going to take you on the right web page. And it's a fairly long one. So anybody that wants to know about these, they can always email me for the URLs, and I can give them to them.
Sure. So why don't you, as we're winding down now, just quickly tell us the best ways to reach you, and then we'll pick up in the next 2 weeks when we have you back on, 2 weeks from today.
The best way is to email me at bciorg2ny@yahoo.com and let me know that you're interested in what these URLs are, like the $5 funnel and Ingressa Cybernetico, and I could send you the right URLs to go on to, so you get onto the right web pages. And
perfect.
And smartu.myshackley.com.
All right. Well, Patricia, unfortunately, we're out of time for this episode. I do want to thank you for coming on. Everybody, tune in again in 2 weeks to listen to Patricia and I back on the show. From everybody here at CMC Radio, this is Rob May saying have a good night, and we'll see you soon. Take care, everybody.
Okay. Thank you.